writers and naturalists, whose idea of fine dining was trout fried over a riverbank fire, with biscuits baked in a pan nestled on hardwood coals. The lobster was still an alien creature that far north, and nobody born and raised in Aroostook County ever said, "Ayo, good morning this morning." That's how people who lived in the southern part of the state talked, at least in Hollywood's version of Maine. By the time Tuesday dawned to gray skies, 30 inches of snow had fallen in just over 24 hours, as town plows went to work and small communities along state highways were digging themselves out. A call for help reached the northern town of Patton. It was made using a portable telephone connected to a line the Diamond Match Company had strung 15 miles into the forest east of Baxter State Park. Diamond needed wood for its matches and toothpicks, and a telephone line would facilitate communication with workers at the company's camps. Plodding over snow that had piled shoulder deep, two lumberjacks on snowshoes had managed to reach the telephone line 15 miles from their camp at Second Lake Mattagammon. They reported that more than 100 people, 31 horses, and 17 head of cattle were stranded at three lumber camps operated by Diamond and the Eastern Paper Corporation. The workers had been expecting a truck loaded with their weekly provisions on Tuesday. But then the snows came and blocked the tote road. Now they were marooned in a wilderness of trees. Supplies were running low, and the animals were down to their last meal. While 30 inches of heavy snow would have strained ordinary men and tested modern equipment, it could still be managed in rugged northern Maine. But if a persistent wind got involved, the situation could change quickly. Drifting snow can create piles and banks up to 8 feet high. Any taller than that, and it becomes blowing snow, which is carried higher on the winds and greatly reduces visibility. Even with snow no longer falling, strong gusts of wind can continue to deliver havoc, especially if it's intent on blowing in one direction for several hours or days. And that's what the wind did to the freshly fallen snow in northern Maine. It blew over it nonstop for 4 days. Now, snow blocked the solitary 27-mile tote road that led into the camps, the last section of which had been given the nickname Burma Road by the woodsmen who walked it. No matter how much effort the plow-equipped trucks and a bulldozer affectionately named Alice had put into opening the road back up, the blowing snow refilled it. According to some reports, the drifts were 15 to 20 feet high. As was customary with the operation of a lumber camp, the workers had gone to the camps and settled in before the winter snows came. With them were 6 women, some accompanying their husbands and bringing small children. They would cook for the operations all winter as the men cut timber for their employers. The crews wouldn't come back out until the spring thaw. That crude tote road kept them supplied weekly when a company truck rumbled in with crates of eggs, 50-pound bags of flour, burlap sacks of potatoes, coffee, powdered milk, canned vegetables, pounds of beef, and boxes of frozen fish. They also brought hay and grain for the animals. But now, all entry to the camps had become blocked since Tuesday. No fresh supplies had been delivered for a week. A few more days and the situation would become serious. Even hunting for deer or rabbits in blowing snow was near impossible. And the work animals were down to their last bales of hay and already feeling the strains of hunger. An emergency call went out to the small municipal airport in Millinocket, 30 miles below Patton and 60 miles south of the Diamond Woods camp at Second Lake Mattagammon. 3 bush pilots immediately fueled their small planes that were already equipped with wide wooden skis for the season. These were experienced men, accustomed to landing on snow-packed terrain during the worst weather and the poorest visibility. Their rescue plan was christened Operation Snowbound. Those stranded workers in the 3 remote camps would soon hear a plane's engine buzzing above the clouds of swirling snow. The first pilot banked his Cessna near the larger camp operated by the Diamond Match Company. Swooping as low as he dared above the blowing gusts, he dropped a side of beef and watched it spiral down into a